Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lester. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Coming off a great week, but starting up this podcast, I'm having some technical difficulties. Usually the audience isn't too sympathetic to my various struggles, but...
You're not coming back for a holiday party again, are you?
I'm not, but my printer might be. My printer's firing off blanks. It's printing out blank sheets of paper, so I'm going digital. I'm normally old school. I'm going to try to do my best here, but I'm feeling self-conscious about it.
I'm more old school. I take handwritten notes.
Oh, well, that's why... Yeah, I don't know. You're better than me. Okay. I was going to say, like...
I flummoxed you.
I tried to take handwritten notes, because that's my preference, but things move too fast, and my nonsense brain moved too fast, and
right, that's my why hands my notes are, yeah, that's why my notes are chicken scratch that only I can read, so it's like a secret code.
Are you the kind of person who can't read your own handwriting sometimes?
No, I can, but I'm like the only one.
Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. It's whatever. It's whatever.
I do a combo of, like, print and script. So it works out well.
All right. Next week on Stationery with Brian and Allie. Okay. So we have a couple of things to catch up on from last week. A few notes. So we've got some questions and we've discussed like when do the after shows film, some timelines with Kara. And a very dedicated fan of the challenge tweeted at me, Emily Connor, thank you, said, I feel creepy that I remember this, but Kara Instagrammed the outfit from the crazy after show 14 weeks ago. And not only did she remember this, but she provided a link. And it's true. So Kara posted like at the MTV backstage in that crazy outfit she wore with the Abe thing 14 weeks ago. So if that gives you any idea of when they filmed this, it should, because it's telling you it was 14 weeks ago. So thank you to Emily. I commend your creepiness.
Shout out to Emily.
So then Jenny Lee, Brazauskas. I think I've said your name before, too. So I'm sorry for forgetting how to read. She says she left in the Facebook thread, no question, but I just listened to last week's podcast about the liquor rules you referenced. Back when Derek still had his podcast, they talked about how Tanya used to bring vodka and other clear liquids in water bottles to challenges, and they found out. So they started putting dye in the alcohol so they would know if people tried to bring alcohol to a challenge. Also, Susie said on her podcast that you basically have a bottle of something and you must finish it and then give producers the empty bottle to exchange it for a new bottle.
I do actually remember hearing that.
So it would, you'd think that they would only allow like brown liquors if Tanya is like bringing them to the actual challenge. Respect.
That's the old school type of challenge. That's what we're missing nowadays. The pocket alcohol. People need to start bringing their own flask and stuff. Now they can't even drink non-alcoholic beer.
The other thing with the Susie thing, Susie wrote a pretty scathing article about the challenge, and probably rightfully so. Like, I'm not going to start going to bat for the challenge right now. So she already has a reputation for being very critical of the conditions the challengers are put in. But the way this is written is that she is saying that you have to finish it and then give producers the bottle. That almost I want to go back to Susie's podcast and listen to this, because to me, I'm reading that to mean... like, they don't let you have too many bottles. Like, they only give you another one if that one's empty. But
yeah. I think that, yeah,
but
that's
to say, like, you must finish it and give the producers the bottle. Sounds like they're like, drink this now. Like, it's hazing.
No, I think it's that. Yeah, that way there's not like seven bottles in like every room and they're all like having their own.
Have you listened to the Brain Candy podcast? I think it's what it's called, with Sarah and Susie. So when this podcast came out, I was like, all right, for our podcast, got to listen to, it's not about the challenge, just like see what they have to say. But it never showed up on my, I use Downcast. This is not a plug. I don't get paid by them. I paid them. And it never showed up. No episodes came up. So sorry. I tried.
Mysterious podcast alert.
But that's all the catch up I have. You want to get into this amazingly exciting episode. My God, I'm so glad it was two parts.
Well, we start off with a fun club scene that came out of nowhere. I didn't expect them to go back to the club again this season.
See, I read this wrong because I thought we were going to complain about how annoying it is that it's two parts, so I front loaded the questions about that. So can we put the club on pause? I'm sorry to kill the momentum.
Sarah, let's pause the club.
I guess you didn't
freeze frame Jenna and Brianna.
You didn't have, I guess, such an extreme reaction to this as I did. Shockingly.
No, because I knew what I was going into. Like, I wasn't expecting, like, I don't know, what were you expecting to happen in the first part of a challenge?
It to be
final?
Interesting?
To me, the challenge final, this is what it is. It's just all like one of the worst parts of a challenge episode is usually sometimes a challenge, and that's just what the final is. So sometimes they're really good, and sometimes there's like cool moments and then memorable moments. For the most part, it's people doing strenuous stuff, us sitting on the couch thinking like, oh my God, this looks impossible. This is why I don't go on the show, puking, complaining. And then eventually someone wins.
I guess, but there was no, I see what you're saying. To me, it was just like, I've never felt so like actively bored. Like, yes, the final isn't the best episode, but I found myself not taking any notes and like not really paying attention and then having to like rewind and watch it again and still not taking any notes because the content wasn't there.
Yeah, no, I agree that, but that's like, to me, my expectations were already at that Fair. Point. So, like, my expectations didn't go lower. I guess you're just, you had higher.
I guess it's just my thought process is, like, okay, if I'm responsible for the show, like, why am I going to dilute an already very weak final? You know, people aren't very excited from what we can tell, what the feedback for us has been. People are not very excited about these final three teams. Like, people are, we'll get mm-hmm. to the comments later, but people are saying, like, oh, my God, Jenna's my favorite, like, uh-oh, like, is that a sign that the show is a problem? The show is a problem, but...
Yes, that is.
If I'm responsible for this, I'm splitting up the double New Year's Eve episodes that both happen to be very good episodes, and I'm picking the best of the worst moments in the shit final and trying to make it the best one-hour final it can be.
Right, and what's weird, though, like, is normally they do... Like, I feel like, at least in recent years, they've been doing two-part finals, but it's not even, like, two-part final. Like, they'll have... the final start like halfway through this episode. So it's not even that, it's like a part and a half final, which I think would only like be better. That way they can end it on like an actual cliffhanger, not just them on like getting back in the limo driving, like have it end like it'd be better if they ended this episode like with Kara and Jamie puking and like, oh, are they going to be able to finish this round or whatever? Not just them like with what's to come. That's normally the way they do it. Like, I think that's the way they've done it the last couple seasons.
If we're going to expect to see five parts of this final, the fact that they only got through one in the first hour is insane. Like, they should have been, you know, three quarters of the way there, and there should have been some intrigue and then stretch out the end. Because you got to imagine the end's the best part, you would hope, and not the first one that everyone's going to forget about. I mean, maybe this one just takes the longest amount of time. But it was really dragging to see even just three teams go through all of the same motions. Like, how many times do we have to see that, like, Jamie's tired? I gotcha. The bag's heavy.
Right.
Gotcha.
What do you think they could do to, like, mix this up? To make it more interesting?
I just think that if less time spent, like, I just think... what you're saying about how there should have been way more like intrigue moving into the next episode. Like, they shouldn't just be in a limousine and getting a chauffeur ride to the next four parts of this challenge. That to me isn't interesting. Right. Even though we normally don't buy into the cliffhangers, at least try, you know, like care enough to lie to me.
I also think what could have been fun, not relatively fun for this part of the challenge is, I don't know why they had to do, everyone had to do the same parts in order. Like, so, like, this is kind of like that old, like, a Survivor challenge where you have to, like, do, like, four different stages, like, go across a rope or whatever it is. But you can, like, pick which order you want to do it. Like, I think it would be more fun if people were doing different things at the same time. And it's like, oh, they're really struggling. But they're really doing the harder one first. So they're going to be struggling so they can make up ground when they're doing the easier one. I don't, like, it seemed like they should have been able to do whichever ones they wanted.
Well, what I like about that concept is the thing is you really can't have it in the locations they were having it, because it's almost like if somebody got to a checkpoint and Jenna and Brianna are already there, like, you'd have to wait for them. Like, that to me would be interesting. Or you have to decide to, like, run another lap and go to another one, you know, like, if it was like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, because it's time based, like, the only thing that was interesting to me is that it gave us a little bit of a sense of time in terms of, okay, like, Jenna left that checkpoint before Corey and Mitch even got there, before Jamie and Carr even got there. Like, that to me at least kept it moving a bit, or me more interested in understanding who is in what place. Like, if it was just all over the place and we had no concept of who won, I mean, I feel like we'd complain about it relying on time again and it not being reliable.
Right, but I mean, do we really, I mean, I know we have a concept of who finished first, second, third, but I don't know how much more that would help the time difference. Just whenever someone's done, that's how we know how far behind they are. So I don't know if that would really fix
that. Yeah, I mean,
I guess
I was just more interested throughout. It would have been more interesting if people were passing each other, I guess. So in this case, it might have been fine.
Right.
But all right, let's take it back to the club. The only thing I thought going into this episode when they showed the like last week on is like, remember when TJ said Brianna wasn't even meant for the challenge? And Mitch and Corey lost an elimination to Dario and Robbie. I mean, it's just a joke. And then somebody pointed out, I forget where, that you can also include Mike through an elimination to Jamie. I mean, who knows who would have really won that, but.
It's not the most, after our last podcast, I did go back and I watched the premiere of Rivals. And I went on like a mini Twitter rant about how like epic that cast is. And just comparing it to like this crop, it's such a downgrade. It's so bad. It's kind of scary, the future of the challenge, like where they have these people now.
Look, I get I care about the show, but I'm not going to lose sleep about the future of the challenge. I got my own future to worry about.
Your life is good.
Hopefully. But all right. This club scene was pretty boring. I mean, I don't want to be a downer, but every scene I'm going to say was pretty boring.
I mean, I enjoy Jenna's performance. I mean, obviously part of her appeal sometimes against loss is that she's like very attractive. And I thought this was the best she looked maybe in her entire history of.
See, I thought Brianna actually looked amazing here. And I haven't really been paying too much attention to her, but I thought she looked great. You know, if you got it, flaunt it. And if you could dress like that, Jenna, like I'm jealous of you and you look amazing. No doubt. But she kind of, this is really creepy, but did you see Amanda from Are You the One's Halloween costume this year? She's like a police officer and she's got like little tiny shorts and like a really tiny crop top that's basically just like a bra. It just like reminded me of like a police officer costume. But, but
maybe
like,
it was.
Good for her.
Could have been. Yeah. And it just, what just sums up this season most of all is the team leading the final right now at this moment. Stumbled over each other, leaving the club.
I'm gonna blame Corey. I actually, what ruined this moment is that it was like tweeted about a lot by MTV and Jenna and Brianna. And Jenna claims that Corey pulled her and she pulled Brianna. And then you can see the most amazing part is Corey like stands up to kind of move away before it cuts out. Like he like is just dropping them and leaving them.
What about Brianna firing shots at Mitch?
I saw both sides. Whose side did you fall on here?
I don't really fall on anyone. I was just interested in your take. Your Mitch Watch is your special.
I don't think this qualifies as Mitch Watch. I mean, I thought it was absolute editing magic when Brianna is saying like, "Oh, I just want to blow everyone away and like show them what we could do," and then they cut to them falling like epically. That was like a perfect editing moment, genius on MTV's part.
She needs to work on her smack talk a little bit. It was very lame. She's like, "Oh, I want to go, ha ha ha! See, we beat you."
She needs to work on her situation. She was okay. Maybe she's not good yet at the producers like prompting her to talk about it. But so basically, what happens is Jenna is like giving sage advice of like to Mitch, like you're gonna feel like you want to quit, don't. And I kind of thought that was nice. It's like she's been through it as a rookie. It's like a little rookie alliance here, and Mitch just goes. Ham, he's just like, you're the last person who should be giving us this lecture. And then Brianna fires off. So I thought she was good here, better than she was in the confessional.
It's amazing that Jen and Brianna are like I can't think of the phrase, but they like each other the best going into this final compared to like where they started the season. They wanted to like kill each other. And now they came out of that. They're looking,
I don't think you can
good.
Say that anyone likes anyone in the world as much as Mitch likes Corey.
That's true, but I don't think it's that.
This is my cousin. This is my cousin. He went to college.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. So Pierre Virilainen says, Jenna has become my favorite contestant on the season. This is very scary. Is it possible that her first two MTV stints were a part of an ingenious long con that she is, in fact, pulling an Andy Kaufman and has just pretended to be a dumb blonde?
That analogy unfortunately went over my head. But no, she's very dumb.
Well, I'm not going to say she's dumb. I think she has has strengths and weaknesses. Like, we all have strengths and weaknesses.
I don't know weaknesses here.
Well, she said some pretty intelligent remarks. So, you know, look, I'm not going to call the girl dumb. But what I will say is I do. And we talked about this even on the last season she was on, moving on from the real world, is like, I think she's gotten more comfortable with herself getting out from Jay's thumb. I think she's probably gotten a lot of positive attention since the show, and she clearly had some insecurity issues from Jay. I think she's more comfortable in front of the camera. That just comes with experience. And she probably has better relationships with the producers. And beyond all of that, what's left? I mean, of course they're going to edit Jenna's like best parts, because there's no one else here to like.
That's like the point. Like, I can't even tell if Jenna is like that great, like that entertaining, or if she seems that entertaining because there's not much else going on right now. I think she's actually pretty entertaining, but like, I can't even say that definitively.
I mean, I just think it's tough because she was cast. I mean, in general, a Bloodline season or something like an X's, you know, where she was on the Real World through Jay, like those are usually easier casting calls to get through because they have a very limited pool of like, whose loved one can we bring out who will be okay, at least on screen. So she got through the Real World kind of in that way. But at the end of the day, these are like casting agents with a bajillion years of experience. And I have to believe that anyone who goes on the show is probably entertaining in some aspect. Whether or not they shine on TV is another story entirely. But right, I don't think she's right. Like incredible. I'm still not like, I don't love her. She's not my favorite person on the season, but I think she's fine.
She's probably she's been my favorite this season. From start to finish, yeah, for sure.
You sounded like I said something you agreed with. I just want to be clear, she has not been my favorite this season.
I'm saying, for sure.
Like, I'm just like...
Yeah, well, like, more so, like, I said that, and then, like, questioned myself, and then I'm like, yeah, for sure, she's
actually
my favorite.
I just wanted to put that out there on the record. She has not been my favorite. Right.
I had, like, a two-sentence conversation with myself out loud.
So, one thing they talk about in this moment here when, you know, the Buddha Jenna or whatever is giving her sage wisdom is saying that it's kind of like a rookie final. And so Eric Franklin has a question about that. In the earlier years of the challenge, it was pretty rare for rookies to make it to the final. Either they were first out, or if they got lucky, they made it somewhere in the middle. Do you think it's pretty standard these days in the challenge for a rookie team to make the final? There has been a rookie team in the final for 5 seasons in a row. And then they list the 5 seasons. Oh, sorry. And then Eric lists the 5 seasons. So what do you think about that?
It's a kind of a new trend. Yeah. I mean, I think some of it has to do. I feel like there's more rookie teams going into every season. I feel like there's more rookies on each season. And I think also is the veterans just aren't as good anymore. So like a rookie team can win eliminations. That
name names.
To do. And also like the... And also just like the formats have kind of like led that way, you know, like free agents with like the draw and everything that kind of helped. And I like Battle of the Seasons was kind of like a weird season overall. And even this one's like a weird season. So I think it's sort of a trend, but it's not like there is some weirdness.
Yeah,
to it.
I think this is very interesting. I think your points were very interesting. I just think also, in terms of the formats, it's like previously I would hate that it was just like, oh, this vet block and you're like, there's like one rookie faction trying to carve their way into it. But, you know, they're not going to be. I think the formats like we were super thrilled about in that respect in terms of like, oh, it's a more even playing field. People have a chance. And now that we're having a taste of that, it's like, oh, this is a rookie final. It's so boring. So the grass is always greener. But I also think like we talked about this yet last week. There was a mass exodus of the vets. So that leads to, like you were saying, more rookies needed. I think there's also like some real deep rooted drama amongst these veterans that we saw this season kind of like tears into them, or just in the respect of like, and there's always been rivalries, but I think this group of vets that we have to choose from is like so factioned that they can't surmount that. And I also think it could contribute to like a difference in casting priorities for the Real World, whereas like the Real World used to be like, let's get some real diverse strangers. It's like a social experiment. And now I feel like they know that the real world is just a feeder to the challenge. Like, exhibit A, X's, exhibit season. B, this coming season, exhibit C, skeletons. Like, they're just looking for dramatic stories or, you know, personalities. I mean, we also look at people who have been cast. They're very athletic people. I mean, they've always been like good looking, but I feel like it's always like the last few seasons of the real world, like anyone could have dropped into the challenge. So who knows? Stronger rookies is like,
that's an interesting point though, but yeah, it is interesting.
All right. What was most interesting to me about this episode is the delivery of this clue from TJ.
Franz.
Before Franz.
Actually, I think I might know where you're going with this, but
no, jump me.
I'll let you say it. Was it a text or was it a note?
Let's get into
on
this.
Her phone?
So last week when Anissa reads the clue, the screen appeared to be blank on the phone. I didn't say anything, but I didn't think about it. I kind of like moved on. This week, I paused the TV, got very close, took a picture of it, zoomed in, then went to my own phone and compared the notes app. It was 100% written in notes. I freeze framed it. I compared it. And the phone is in airplane mode. They're not even paying for roaming.
Oh, my God. They can't even give them an international data plan on
the phone. I guess MTV or, you know, whatever, has such... Molly actually texted me to correct your pronunciation of the production company, but...
Wait, how is that pronounced?
I gotta go to her text now. I just still won't say things that I'm afraid of. Oh, she said... It's Buna Murray, not Buna Murray. Brian is driving me crazy.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
You can
it's
take
Buna
that off
Murray.
Air. So,
wait, say it again.
She
Buna?
Wrote B-O-O-N-I-M, not B-Y-U-N-I-M. Okay,
this is like actually, I know I say I'm going to do research on stuff. I'm doing research on this because there's no way that's how
in
you
fairness,
say
Molly is industry and she has worked alongside people who've worked for the challenge. So, I'm going to go Molly on this one, but
they're wrong.
It's not personal.
They're wrong.
It's just business. Did you mean you were doing research now? Okay.
No, but I mean, I don't know how I would need to like put sound on. And
is there a dictionary thing for it that was like Buna Murray? Like you click and it reads it like a dictionary pronunciation guide.
Maybe there is. I'm actually
all right. Google. So while you do that, let's talk about Franz.
Yeah.
Andrew Kirk said, what did you guys think of TJ Lavin's buddy Franz?
I thought he's had a really weird turn in his career that this is now what
TJ
he's
or Franz?
Franz.
My first thought was like, what do you think Franz and TJ do when they hang out?
Okay, quick update. This is from 2003, so I guess their pronunciation may have changed, but it says recently Murray and Bunum pronounced to rhyme with Unum. So that's Bunum. So,
look, I told you to take it off air. Couldn't have less of an interest in this. I still refuse to say it. I didn't come in hot with the pronunciation.
Firing back.
Again,
all right,
so, you know what? It's not nice to talk about Molly when she's not here to defend herself, even though she did it to you via text.
Exactly.
But she said specifically,
or
Brian
was it
is
notes?
Driving me crazy. I said, welcome to my world, you know?
That's the effect I have on women.
Okay. I haven't really broken a lot of this podcast, but you got me. All right. It's just, we have to move on from Franz. So they get measured. All right. Into the limo.
Wait, what, there was a, what
you
was
responded.
The question of Franz?
You said his life
really
changed
answer.
And, you
okay,
know.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But I don't know what Franz is doing prior to this. So to me, like, you know, on a global television show, like, great, that's probably an upgrade. People are probably lining up in Berlin to get a jacket from Franz, although he didn't look too legitimate. Like, I feel like that was like a part-time actor they picked up to just freelance.
Maybe it's one of their bloodlines.
TJ's bloodline, is this his father?
Sure, we can go with that.
I just wish I knew how to say father in German, but I don't. I can say lemon. Okay, let's move on.
Padre?
Padre? I don't think that's correct.
I was just saying another word for father. That's not English.
Okay. We're going to get this
TJ
back on track. Because, yes, as you were just about to say, go ahead.
TJ rolling up
truck. What a freaking boss entrance. Are you kidding me? And he looks good, too.
Yeah, he looks like, you know how I said Jenna is the best that she ever looked on TV? That's maybe the best TJ's ever looked on TV.
They called him and were like, yo, the cast is like stepping it up. You know, we're going to have to break out the button down. And I like that he drives the car himself. He doesn't have some prissy chauffeur. Franz is not behind the wheel. Although that actually would have been amazing if Franz is in the front seat. It's like Ranjit from How I Met Your Mother.
I was on the tip of my tongue.
If you don't take a breath when you talk, people can't steal your jokes.
Now you roll. Keep behind the curtain.
All right. One thing I have to say throughout this episode, and by throughout I mean just twice, it's like sometimes I get worried about what I say on this podcast, but if MTV is going to troll these contestants and roast them so hard, you know, I can say whatever. Because TJ, with the ultimate backhanded compliment, looks out on this crowd of six proud hopefuls and says, yeah, no one thought you would get here. Like, no one would have ever predicted this, but here you are.
No one. No one. Poor final
well,
six.
Well, true. It's like, he's like, yeah, I didn't think this would happen, and but all right, let's just do this.
It's kind of like the second time he's taking a dig at them. He did this, like, last week, too. He called them the cream of the crop in, like, a very sarcastic way.
I'd rather a potentially sarcastic compliment than just straight up, like, shit, how'd this happen?
This is who we have. And Nate takes another shot at Jenna for quitting.
Well, I mean, she's been taking shots at herself, which is, I'm a big proponent of making fun of yourself so other people, you know, don't. And so right. I respect the way Jenna's owning that.
Yeah, so we finally got clarity on the payouts. It was very normal payout structure, so kind of weird that they hit it for all this time, but sure.
I do like that it goes from, they pointed out that you get 125K per person, but then they did the next two spots to share. Like, they weren't going to be like, and 12,500 each for third place.
Right, because if they said that, they would have realized they got paid peanuts.
Which,
what,
you get
like
$6,000 after taxes? I mean, look.
Yeah, it's barely, like barely enough money to cover the flight home.
I would do it. Like that. You wouldn't be on national television for $6,000?
I wouldn't go through this final for
$6,000. I couldn't do it, but like I understand, especially if you're like a model / fitness person / actor, all aspiring, like notoriety is going to help you. Like in my future career, this could only hurt me. But more on that later, actually.
Right. Ooh, is this your surprise?
It works into it. Okay. For anyone who doesn't follow us on Twitter, because they're smart, rational human beings,
But then why would they be listening to this podcast? So that
it's a hate listen. I teased that I had a surprise for Brian, but that will come later. All right, so we have a question from Megan Gunning. You ready? You sure?
Go for it.
Maybe. Well, I'm not gonna start until you're confident. All right, so Megan Gunning says, I feel like there have been an exceptional amount of timed challenges this season, including eliminations, which seems very unusual compared to past seasons. Do you think there's a specific reason why production is doing it this way, and do you think it's related to the crazy format? It seems sketchy to me, since it doesn't allow viewers to see who won in real time like a race.
I don't think there's anything to read into it. I think it's just kind of just a challenge that they've done. Really, I think with team challenges, it's kind of easier, I guess, to do with time. I don't know I don't know if that makes sense at all. But yeah, I just think it's kind of just how
I think in terms of like the regular challenges and eliminations. I mean, I think it's a money thing. Like, I don't think they want to build two courses. I don't think they want to hire the people to staff the two courses. The one thing I didn't like about them announcing it was timed for the final is, like, again, like, we don't get the satisfaction of, like, the winning team crossing the finish line unless it becomes, like, so obvious or unless they announce the, like, clear positions before going into the fifth leg. But I feel like sometimes we don't get, like, it may not be the person who crosses the fifth leg first who actually wins.
Right. The only thing I do like, if it's like we're thinking that just five stages and they all time together, is I hate that they do these fake like head starts. Like you could be up for like an hour. You can win the first leg by an hour and then you only get like a 5 minute head start to the last thing, which is like really not that fair. So it's kind of like, I don't know which is worse. The not really knowing who wins or each phase not really mattering as much.
No, definitely. I mean, it was ridiculous. Wasn't it like Sarah? Wasn't it last season they did that? Where it was like they got to the campfire and I was like, all right, you can leave 45 seconds before the next team.
Yeah, the last few seasons, I feel like they've always done stuff like
that. All right, so we feel fine about this in general.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, ideally, the best thing is just a race, no stops, and the first one to finish wins. That's like the ideal final, which I don't know why it's that hard to do that.
Because they got
to
stretch. I'm doing that hand motion like I'm stretching dough or something. Stretch.
Because they need to do this stupid two-day final. It's not that impressive that it's 2 days. Just start at 8 a.m. and have it go all day and just have it be like one long
race.
Or
no sleep. Make them do it 24 hours.
Well, they did that, but then it like allows people to like catch up.
No, but wasn't it like once you finish your bike, you can like go in the tent? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
no,
yeah, but
I
you
meant
get to sleep.
No
that, like,
sleep. That's what I'm
time.
Saying. No sleep.
Yeah,
like
okay,
24 hours, full on physical exertion. And then our lazy asses can sit here and talk about it like bosses.
Perfect.
All right. So the biggest thing to come out of this stage one of five with four checkpoints. If anyone's not a math major, I know this is very difficult to follow.
The four into five equals good.
Fuck you, Brad Culpepper. So the other math problem here, MTV really slacked on the math, and Brennan Sweeney is going to talk about it. Did you find the weight bags of 60 pounds/120 pounds a fair way of doing things? I know the challenge is never truly fair, but this seemed almost out of hand. Would you rather see a proportion of body weight or some other measurement when doing tasks like this? Also, Mitch is strap breaking. Unfortunate. Hashtag Mitch watch. Real talk.
First on the weight. Yeah, I mean, we said this, what was it, 2 weeks ago when they did the mock final? But yeah, why can't they just do proportion of body weight? Like, that's just...
Well, first of all, now we...
And it shouldn't even
now
be that
we know
difficult.
Why Kara was confused, why she tweeted that it was 120 and 60, because she was incorrect when she tweeted that, because it was this final. She confused a challenge with
right.
the final.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an honest mistake.
A little bit of spoiler.
I thought
then,
you might say that, Brian, that it's we've talked about it. But Umberto is going to bring you an interesting thought that we didn't think about. Body weight wouldn't be fair either. Women and men have different anatomy. Women have breasts and hips, and those aren't, quote, muscle that you can work, hence would be a detriment, but the 120 to 60 is too much.
All right. All right, Umberto, there's no perfect formula, but let's get the anatomy out of here. Just do body weight. Like, that's like the simple way to do it. We're not incorporating, well, this is worth more than this. So it's going to be like what? Like, so a woman would be like, it would be probably for like 63.2% of their body weight, and then for men, it'd be what, like, 47.9? Is that
sorry,
fair?
When she said percent, I was like, whoa.
Just do half the body weight.
Half the body
simple,
weight?
Simple, direct.
Well, I guess
yeah.
I'm thinking of...
I mean, that's what they're doing now.
Oh,
to
shit.
Some degree.
I forgot.
For some, or
I
maybe
forgot,
more
like,
or
big
less
dudes can weigh, like, over 200 pounds, and it's, like, the huge. Sorry, half the body weight just sounded alarming, yeah. But then I actually did the math.
I mean, I bet it's... I think for Jamie, it's probably more than half his body weight. I
think
Jamie's
you think Mitch
240.
Is?
But he's like
he's
tall, so he, I mean,
he's,
none of them are probably 240.
Corey's easily 240.
Right. I mean, no, because Corey's really short. You just ever see, like,
muscle
he's like
weighs more than whatever makes you tall. Bones.
I mean, I'll take the under on 240 for all the guys.
I don't know. I mean, I just was shocked that people even weigh 240 pounds. So, no, I'm kidding. No, but I was thinking that, like, the Jamie, like, has Kara on his back, basically.
Yeah. In like a
whoever thought of this
thing.
Is an idiot. I mean, I think forget what they should have done. I mean, they should never have done 120 pounds on all the guys and then like, that's fine. That's not fine.
I mean, but they did it though. So it,
yeah,
it
they did
fine.
It. But look, they finished Corey and Mitch finish an hour behind.
But this goes to like the next question though. How much do you think that strap breaking really hurt them? I think that's kind of BS.
Oh, but they just laced
unless
that
there's
back
something
up.
Mitch did. But at least it seemed like, I mean, it cost them time. Like, unless that's something that, that Mitch did, like, they almost should have just paused the final and had, like, been fixed.
I think, at least on Big Brother, and correct me if I'm wrong, podcast listeners, because I definitely got this from listening to one of Rob's podcasts, is that, like, if there's something screwed up with your lane or, like, whatever piece of machinery you're using in the challenge, like, it's too bad. Like, your ball can get stuck or, like, the thing could break and they're not going to reset. They're just going to, like, kind of cut you off screen and, like, you lose. It's like everything worked before and anything that happens to you is your fault. But I thought it was more just, like, a belt situation. Like, maybe it took 5 minutes at the most to, like, put it back in.
I mean, we couldn't really tell exactly how long it took, but they were getting pretty frustrated, so it seemed like it had to take them a little bit of time. I thought
their issue was just being slow, understandably so, with 120 pounds on their back. The catapult, Corey had a problem with. Like, I just don't think that they performed, like, very strongly otherwise besides a strap.
Right.
Somebody also pointed out, sorry, I didn't pull this, but you're on my mind. Like, wouldn't Corey get more tired by throwing the barrel? So for anyone who's not watching the show, all of you came out of the woodwork on Twitter, so thank you. I knew you were there all along. The first part was they had to, like, take 6 barrels and roll them each up a hill one at a time. And all the other people were just rolling it. And Corey's like, I'm going to just pick it up and throw it as far as I can. Like, that seemed more strenuous than just rolling it up and not any faster.
I mean, Corey's whole strategy was ridiculous. He first started carrying the bag on one shoulder. And then he started carrying it with just, like, one arm.
You got to work smarter, not harder, Corey. Come on.
Yeah, don't be
hard. One thing I thought was great. Did you pick up when Jamie and Kara take a break? They put subtitles on Kara and she says, you ready? Because they're coming. And the subtitle reads C-A-U-S-E, like, because they're coming. I thought Kara said, you ready? Because C-U-Z, they're coming.
it could be either one.
I think MTV was like, let's give her the benefit of the doubt and, like, get because out of here one more time.
Yeah. She did call him Jamie at one point, though, and like, I almost, like, fell off my couch.
I mean, it's a new thing. She's moving away from it, I guess.
That the word cuz is just obliterated.
One thing I will say is I did think when they got to the checkpoints, they were basically, like, tie-dye t-shirts with, like, writing on them. I thought, like, literally reading the sign was the checkpoint when they got to the first checkpoint. It wasn't, they were totally illegible. I mean, it could have just said, like, read what we told you to read out loud and pretend it's written on the sign, and I would not have been the wiser.
Maybe they stole my handwriting from my notes.
What a callback. I said it like my name was Jeeves. Like, okay, sorry. It's an association I have with Jeeves. Okay. All right, so checkpoint 2. Am I the only one who thought of Thomas and Steve at this checkpoint? Because it's Pong. Why? I thought they would have killed it.
I mean, okay, I mean, Steven does always come up clutch for him.
I mean,
for him, so.
If this is when you need a clutch Pong player, I mean, this is the time.
This looks super hard.
I just can't believe that they had to drink a non-alcoholic beer of, like, all things. It just was bizarre.
It's such a weird choice. Either just go all out and give them beer, which I know probably goes against, like, every safety violation they would have, but just have him sign new contracts before the final, I'm sure they would. Or give him something, like, disgusting to drink, or just, like, normal to drink. Like, to give them, like, half and half of non-alcoholic beers. Like, it's just a weird move.
Well, I don't think it was half and half. I think they were all non-alcoholic.
Well, I meant a half measure. Yeah, like, yeah. Either just give them something disgusting or just give them beer, but give them non-alcoholic beer is like a waste. They're gonna do that. Just give them water.
I don't know if it was supposed to be like a German culture thing, like they're doing beer steins and it's beer and we're in Germany, whatever. I like how, like, Brianna doesn't seem to know that, like, Germany is known for beer. Like, she made some comment I didn't write down that I was like, does she not understand that this is, like, a place for beer?
Come on, Brianna didn't know what country she was in.
Oh, this is what she says. She says, like, it tasted weird because it's non-alcoholic, but I just thought, like, oh, I guess it's German. I'm like, German beer is delicious, Brianna. Okay, Edward Morris, to your point, wants to know, would having drunk competitors complete a final make the show better or worse?
It would be great. And then the way they could have done this, if they had this be like the last checkpoint and then had them do like one other little thing, like not even like one, not even one other, just when they finished that, they just had to like walk back to the finish line and then that would be it.
You've completely lost your mind. The contracts they already signed probably provided for something like that. Like, I don't think they needed any more strict of a contract. Like, I'm sure they could like claim their firstborn child. But that being said, there's no way a TV show geared for like the 13 to 24 year old market is going to have people forcibly drinking beer and then competing in any sort of context, even if it's the last one. I mean, this is like what sororities and fraternities get kicked off for and sued and like go to prison. Like, this is not something that could have made TV.
That's what I want to challenge the
bit. I'm sorry. This was never going to happen. Not even on MTV. And I'm shocked to hear you like try to logistically rationalize it. Like, well, if it's like the last challenge, it'd be okay. Are you kidding me? They had to drink like 8 beers each. Like, Kara tweeted something that fits right into our hands here, because like, can you imagine the bitching they would have done if they had to drink alcohol? So
Corey almost preferred it. He was like, oh, this is perfect. Chugging beers.
Kara tweeted out why it was, because basically Kara is broken in this challenge. Like, she completely just bitches out and cries and is like, eh, so much liquid. I hope I don't get yelled at for saying bitches out. I'm sorry. I'm a woman. Okay. She wrote why I was really freaking out about drinking the mass amount of liquid in the final. And then she linked to an article about how drinking too much water can kill you. Your reaction?
You're not going to die, Kara. Come on. Seriously, she linked to an article about drinking water leads to death?
Here's what I will say. I'm going to reveal a bit about myself. I have looked into this before. Because I got on a health kick. I bought one of those, like, containers that holds all the water you need to drink in a day. And I kept it at my desk. I did that for about 2-3 days. But in that time, I was like, oh, I'm going to get too healthy right now. I'm going to drink too much water. And you can die. And people have died. But you have to drink so much liquid in such a short period of time to die from it. And this, she could have drank all the glasses on the table by herself and been fine.
That's a weak job by Kara. Considering she's probably going to be like winning this season and she's complaining about dying from water, just add another check mark to the horrible crop of people we have for this season.
So we have a question from Katie Beth Austin, which Corey actually, maybe he has seen at least one season, because he did say, real talk, we're not chugging fish guts. So good job by Corey knowing something that happened on the show.
Quick, before you get to that question, do you think that they were quoting Pauly D throughout this entire final with all their, oh, yeah.
I didn't catch one. Oh, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Probably not. I mean, I was very chicked out. I tried to engage here. I'm not kidding. I had to go back a couple times to just like be like, oh, I stopped watching. And it wasn't like I was on my phone or doing something else. I just like was not enjoying. So it's not. The point is, it's not you. It's me.
Okay.
Katie Beth Austin on Twitter wrote, which is worse, Kara crying over 8 pints of non-alcoholic beer or Jay crying over 1 pint of grossness?
I mean, Jay was worse because he quit. At least Kara did it.
It's not.
Kara's a really ugly crier. Right,
look, you're calling women dumb. You're calling them ugly. They're not here to please you, Brian. Okay? She doesn't care about you.
About
but I said bitched out, so I'm probably worse than you right now. Okay. So this is what I like. So, like, Jen and Brianna are off and running to the third checkpoint before Kara and Jamie even leave the second checkpoint, which we'll get more to what kind of credit should be doled out. But I was really impressed at this moment with the girls.
They were great this entire final. Their attitude was great. They were getting along the whole time. They were encouraging each other the whole time. Even when Brianna messed up at the end, like she said, like, well, Jenner's is still just very encouraging. I mean, there's really nothing bad you could say about anything they did in this final so far.
1/5 of the final.
One-fifth.
So they get to the third checkpoint, which is basically like a Tetris-style puzzle, at least to me. That's what I thought of. And they clear it before anyone even starts. But one thing that was very interesting it, to me at least, is when the next team arrives, you can see Jen and Brianna's puzzle disassembled in the background. Because I was thinking, like, you know, oh, did they mix it up? Did they not? And it looked like they didn't disassemble it. It looked like potentially production came in and disassembled it.
Yeah, I think they booked it when they were done. I don't think they would make them take out the pieces.
Well, I don't think they would make them, but I think it's more like, would someone think to do that as strategy or not?
Right.
So Albert Vargas says, it looked like every team left the puzzle without removing their pieces once they completed the task. Corey and Mitch got to the task last, but in the background, oh, I guess it was Corey and Mitch, sorry. So in the background, you could see that the puzzle pieces were removed one after one of the other teams left. Is this a change in how production runs the challenge? I remember teams back in the day being able to get an advantage by seeing how their opponents left the finished puzzles.
I guess it is a change. Yeah. Because I do kind of remember that also. But I also kind of think, weren't they like at the puzzle at the same time? So I guess they weren't able to remove it. I don't know if they remember, but I like this. This is definitely a good change.
See, I wish they left it because for me, like, it wasn't one of those puzzles where you can like obviously look and see a completed picture, because once the pieces were in, you couldn't tell like which formation the shapes were in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't tell if it was one piece or another. It just looked like one big piece. So it would have been an interesting thing to see if Corey and Mitch are going to try to solve it, or if they're going to say like, you know what, let's just go look at and disassemble their puzzle to see ours, kind of thing. Like, I almost wish that was like a strategic part of it, but I get why they took it down.
Yeah.
Sorry, my nose is stuffed. I'm trying not to be gross on the podcast, but
I appreciate
it. Only so much can be helped. You know, it's not for you. If we weren't recording, I would probably like sneeze through the microphone. I wouldn't care.
If we weren't recording, and we just talk for an hour and a half about the challenge on the phone every week, that'd be kind of odd.
I was going to say something mean, but people don't like it, so.
What are you going to say? I do that anyway?
No, I was going to say I'd never talk to you if we were recording. I'm just kidding. I text Brian all the time, everyone. He's okay. His life is fine. All right, so let's take it to checkpoint four. Let's take this baby home.
Before checkpoint four, this is actually like my mindset on Twitter.
They're going to ask me more about...
No. But when Mitch shows up to checkpoint three, he goes, oh, puzzles have been my thing this whole season. And then I'm like thinking back, I'm like, wait, how many puzzles has there actually been? I just realized there's only been one.
But he was
But I was about to write off a snarky tweet making fun of Mitch. And then as I'm writing the tweet, he finishes the puzzle.
Here's the thing. So I saw those tweets before. So someone else wrote a very funny tweet about that. Like, you know, mid-tweet edit, like, oh, Mitch is like good at puzzles. Yeah. So I saw that and expected him to go in and like totally beast it. And it's very difficult to tell with the editing how well he or how quickly he actually completes it. I mean, by the time the third group gets there, they're not going to want to show like more people looking at the puzzle. And we get it. You're trying to move around the shapes. It's not that interesting. And for them to finish an hour later, I mean, the editing clearly made it look like they were no more than 3 minutes behind at every stage. So look, Mitch, I love you. You know, no one loves you more. That's not true. People do, I'm sure. But I'm not willing to say like, oh, he's like some savant.
That's fair. That's fair. But he took away my snarky tweet, so I don't like that.
Yawn that, bitch. I hope people listen to our Are You The One podcast and don't just think I throw the B word around like Mitch throws bananas.
Quoting from Hannah. Banana. Are they still together?
Yeah, Zach and Hannah. You don't get Zach's annoying tweets about like, come follow me on Instagram. Look,
I've unfollowed basically all of them on Twitter and I'm like on Instagram. Cut off.
I'm too lazy to go hit unfollow. It's like too many steps.
Especially on Instagram, I unfollow them because they just post so much and I just don't need to see it.
No, I never followed anyone on Instagram, so at least I have that. You're doing the Lord's work.
Exactly. All right. That's my goal in life.
All right, so
checkpoint four.
Yes, let's do it.
The lava game.
All right, so I think Jenna and Brianna have the best strategy of any of the three teams here, and possibly because they're the smallest team in terms of like needing room on the tire. But I just thought like going slow and steady, but both standing up was solid. I thought Cara and Jamie's strategy was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The worst, especially like. after how tired and exhausted their legs must be to go squatting all the time. I was waiting for one of them just to tip over because their legs would just give out.
Yeah, I mean, that was bizarre. And one thing is, I was like, oh, maybe I'm being too judgmental. Like, you know, I never considered that, but maybe it's possible. But then when Corey and Mitch can do it standing up, then I'm like, all right, forget it. Like, Jamie's not bigger than Corey, and Mitch is a little bit bigger than Kara. So if they can do it standing, like, you guys are just fools.
Yeah. It was not a good plan.
Okay, so we're going to... So basically, I don't know if you have anything else in terms before the winning situation, but I have a ton of questions.
What did you think of that checkpoint?
I don't think anything besides questions. No. I mean, it was a little uneventful. It was like, here to... Like, could it be any more low budget? But right. I guess it was challenging. I think all the checkpoints were maybe more challenging than they looked on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the checkpoints. I think the hard stuff was just the lap with the bag. And then I think it would be overkill if the checkpoints were super physical also. So I liked that they were, as Cara would say, janky carnival games.
Well, we'll get to that. But it was better than monkey bars. But, like, it was all right. Like, I don't know. They've done this before. And Alex Pandemaran asked, do you think this first stage alone could have been a final? And that was my first thought, is like, finals in the past have basically just been this.
In the further past, right, not recently.
In the past.
Yeah, yeah, the way past.
The past as opposed to recently.
Yeah, the pre-rivals.
So, yeah, I mean, this was like, but it takes away almost, I'm jumping ahead. Too many questions. Let me get to the questions.
Give me the questions.
All right. So Joe Braga says, I want to give full credit to Jen and Brianna, but do you think they had a huge advantage because they both had 60-pound bags as opposed to Jamie, Mitch, and Corey, who had to carry 120 and all seemed to struggle?
I mean, it helps they had less weight, but, I mean, it hurt them, and I think it hurts them in other places. They have less strength to carry it. So, I mean, I'm not going to give excuses to them about, oh, they carry more weight, so we should feel bad for them. Like, that's just, this is the game.
Okay, I absolutely think we should make excuses. I think the rules are the rules, and they won fair and square, and they should be given credit for that. But at the same time, I mean, it's not just like, oh, they had 120 pounds, they had 60, but they had more strength, because they don't have double the strength. I think that burden was, like, pretty evidently unsurmountable for the guys, and I don't think the checkpoints required any strength to make up for that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe rolling the barrels, but other than that, everything was like pretty even keel for the genders. So the real issue was the bags.
That's fair, but this is also, again, only 20% of the thing, so we have to see, like, there may be the next stage is more geared toward the guys that helps them.
Right. Great point. Kristen Kinnar further to this says, I think Jenna and Brianna did great regardless, but do you think this leg, especially the bag weights and tires, favored women? So the reason I pulled that question is I thought in general, every single element of this section of the final was either gender neutral or favored the girls, not just the bags.
I kind of think, though, it has to be that way, right? Because I think if everything's either geared more towards the guys than the girls, I feel like it swings even more towards the guys. Like, I feel like the guys' weaknesses isn't as bad as, like, the guy, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. The girls' strength isn't as high as the guys' weaknesses. Does that make sense?
I know what you're trying to say, but I just think it's not fair to say, because there's no, like, real evidence to support that in terms of, like, okay, so the two finally challenges we've had, the only reason Corey and Mitch won was because of the puzzle. Not because of the physical. Like, the women pretty much beat them handily in the athletic portion. Now, they did have different weights again, but I think that was less extreme. And maybe they made a judgment call after seeing that challenge to make the increase the weight. I don't know. But I just think if you're going to make the commitment to have a mixed gendered format, then you need to really put in the work to do totally gender neutral challenges, or at least I see what you're saying, that, like, the you'd have to compensate more as a woman than for the men. Is that
I feel like if it's neutral, that's still geared towards the guys. I think it has to be more the other way.
See, I don't know, though. I don't think we've ever really... I don't hear Rob having these conversations about Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race. Like, the other challenge...
But I think the challenge shows... The challenge final is... I mean, I don't watch Amazing Race or anything. I don't even watch Big Brother. But I can't imagine the challenge final... Like, anything on those shows comparable to a challenge final. Like, for a Survivor challenge, it's so compact and, like, it's not... It doesn't have, you don't have to swing things so much. Like, the challenge final is like a 2-day extravaganza of just like death. Like, you need to like have these big swings to like compensate for everything.
Then I guess you need to commit then to not having this kind of unbalance. Like, it's one thing when it was like, what was the one where it was just Sarah and Kellyanne at the end against the team?
Oh, yeah, I think it was like Ruins or something like that.
Whatever. So that's something built into the game where like you suffer because you lost. That's another story. Like, if you're going to be disadvantaged because you couldn't get your shit together, fine. But if you're just going to like come in Jenna and Brianna, you're going to come in Corey and Mitch, you're going to come in Bananas and Vinny. Like, I think you need to do a better job of making it so it's not this bad, where we could probably talk for another hour about.
Right.
This alone. Just
the bottom line is the format. Like, the format was a bust the entire way through, and it's showing up what again right now. It needs like there's just get rid of the non same gender pairs, or just have like everyone is the same gender type pair.
Well, you're saying like you could have guy teams and girl teams.
Everyone be guy or girl. Or everyone's guy.
Well, I don't think that works. I think that's still a problem because people are saying like Corey and Mitch had 120 each.
No, but then, if it's everyone's guy and girl, then like you have a guy winner and a girl winner. Like they do like with the rivals. Oh,
I'm sorry. I thought you meant, okay, gotcha. So you brought up the carnival games that Kara spoke about, the carnival games. This had listeners in an uproar.
And me as well.
You just take a sip.
I was hoping you'd be talking longer.
So Nick Sabetta said, if it wasn't for the weight that they have to carry between the carnival games, has this been one of the easiest finals in a while so far?
But that was the hard part of the final. So, you can't just take that away. If you take that away, then it's not the final.
I totally agree. Like, if it wasn't for the difficult part, would this have been easy? And it's also only 1/5. So I feel like before we, even though I have been passing judgment, before we officially make the call about where this final ranks, you know, we have to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or at least the majority of it.
It is so weird that, like, one episode is going to be the same. It is 20% of the next episode.
I also think maybe I have a problem with them not laying it out. Like, maybe it would have been more successful to me if they had said, like, all right, here's checkpoint one, here's stage one. In stage two, you'll do this. In stage, like, even if they just brought the audience through it, because then we're seeing all these random clips of the rest of the final, and it's just like,
just do it all in one shot.
Frustrating.
Don't stopping. Just have everything.
We only
have
one shot.
Everyone has their own personal car. If you want to take them to new spots, everyone has their own car. When they're done with the first part, you drive them to the next part, and there's no stopping. Just keep going. First one to finish once.
I was going to sing background for that whole spiel, but then I thought people would think that was rude.
You love singing so much, obviously.
I know. I got mad rhyme skills. One time, I've been known to get into freestyle rap battles. Interesting. And one time I laid down. He's very good. He's V good. So I tried. I laid down a rhyme that ended with "I'm rapping rhymes like I'm Leanne Rhymes." So
rhyming on the same word isn't bad sometimes. Isn't that like a thing?
It's slant rhyme. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what slant rhyme is. Okay, enough about me. Ashley King says, do you think Kara's complaint about coming in second because the games weren't purely physical endurance as she trained for was warranted?
No, 100% not. This is the final. Every single final has this stuff.
So Jeremy Burris didn't respond to Ashley King, but I can like a puzzle, I can put things together. So Jeremy Burris says, Kara makes it incredibly hard to root for her. She asked for endurance, but wasn't that where Jenna and Brianna originally passed them? I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's a great point. Absolutely. They were losing when the endurance port started. So get that out of there.
Now, in fairness, we get back to the weight thing, but still, Kara can't get endurance without Jaime and whatever's compensation's made for the gender. Mm-hmm. So
this is where it makes it hard to, like, going back to that after show before where Kara's like, oh, I work so hard, I deserve it. But yes, you work so hard, you deserve it. But you can't just say, like, oh, if I had just endurance, I would win a final, because that's just not what a final is. So it, like, that part, it, like, it almost makes it hard to defend that part when she then, like, complains about the carnival games.
So Stephen Lean says, do you think we'll see more of these, quote, carnival games in the second half of the final? In other words, more Kara crying because you can't train for these things.
There'll be some physical, some obviously some gross eating, and I'm sure there'll be some puzzles or whatever else she wants to call a carnival game. That's just what a final is.
I pulled a bit of Umberto's response to this. He said, I think it's a little unfair to just say carnival games. And I think that's
fair. That is
fair,
like, too. Yeah.
It was, you know, I mean, it wasn't gross food, but it was that kind of, like, drinking. Like, it reminded me of when they have to, like, eat a wedding cake. It looks like a joy. Like, drink all this beer, but it's probably torture. Right.
They're not shooting water into a clown's mouth here.
It was, like, it was accuracy. It was puzzle. It was physical. So,
like, the only janky carnival game was the drinking thing. Like, I guess that was as close to a janky carnival game as it gets.
Which she was just mad because she was bad at it. But that brings us to the next question. So Albert Vargas says, are these challenges, quote, carnival games only because Cara Maria isn't good at them? I don't see Jen or Brianna complaining that the challenges are too easy.
Yeah, that's totally fair. If she wouldn't be complaining, she nailed her first shot.
Yeah, I responded to Albert directly and said, I'm the only person who complains when I win. So I don't see Jenna Brianna complaining or Kara complaining if she were to have won that. Like, that was so stupid. I'm so mad that I won. So I think if she were the winner, I think she would have been focused on, like, the harrowing journey between checkpoints. Like, Jaime, my cuz, killed it. He had 120 pounds on his back. He did so good. Like, mm-hmm. We won. And when she loses, she's like, like the seesaw.
It's 100% right. 100% right.
I'm another update from last week, from the last 2 weeks. And it's relevant now because we get to the segment, the Mitch Watch. That's not really Mitch. That's just like that little clip.
Right.
Now, I was coincidentally listening to an episode of How Did This Get Made with Scott Aukerman, who... from December, because I'm behind.
Wow, super behind.
There's too many off-season rehab podcasts, so I'm very behind on my other stuff.
You're so 2015.
So 2015 late, yeah. Whatever. Coincidentally, this concept came up, and it is technically called a podbuster. So there you go. So the podbuster this week was a bitchy recap of the season.
There you go.
What'd you make of it? Anything? You fast forward?
I fast forward. Because didn't
you watch live?
Yeah, but like I zone out during commercials, or I'm finally catching up on my Twitter feed. But like they did that, like, so they did
lied.
That recap.
You just lied to the whole audience.
They did that recap. Like, didn't they do that before, like, one of the after shows last week or something like that? They do recaps every freaking week. I can't keep up with them.
I think they did a bitchy recap, like, early on. But what I thought was funny is, like, they get to Jenna, they're like, Jenna and, what's her name? Sorry, there's a lot of new people. Like, I cried that Brianna's in a final and MTV is going to friggin' bash her. Say, we don't even know your name.
That's actually pretty funny.
The one thing Jenna tweeted that I pulled here is, she wrote, they didn't show the last checkpoint. We had to race to the top of the staircase and run back.
Didn't they do that on the fourth checkpoint?
Well, I think each time they had to, like, go up the stairs and come back. So maybe there was, like, the fifth checkpoint you just had to run up, and then MTV realized it was stupid.
I mean, they cut stuff, I feel like, from challenges all the time, so it's not that surprising. I guess it was just quick and boring. They could just get rid of it.
When is MTV going to contact Jenna and tell her to be quiet? Because every week Jenna's like, they didn't show this, but this is what happened. It's, like, very Stacey from Are You the
One? Right. But she has a lot more impact on the show. Or in impact.
So when we see them in a limo to the next challenge, Rachel tweeted on Twitter. Well, that was stupid. Rachel tweeted on Twitter. The ride in the car is giving a little break, some time to catch their breath. When compared to previous finals, fair or not fair?
It's fair because they've done this before, you know? I mean, they had them sleep overnight one time, so. It's not like that.
I think a couple of times they've done overnight. So. I mean, fair is only relative to if everybody has to do it. Mm-hmm. And as you raised, which I didn't even think about, is that the head starts aren't an issue because it's this summation of time. So it really doesn't matter as long as everyone's on an equal playing field. Right. And you get more of an advantage because Jenna and Brianna took less time.
Right, so they rested waiting.
Exerting themselves.
They rested waiting for everyone to finish. So
the only thing is, like, for me as an audience, and we've talked about it, and I'm droning on and on, but it was a total momentum killer.
Oh.
Like, to go out of the next challenge in just, like, a limo ride is, like, wake me up for the next season.
I mean, I wish, like, the best, like, I remember, like, Free Agents, the best cliffhanger of a challenge final ever was when they cliffhang Zach almost dying. Like, I mean, it's tough to get better than that, but, like, give us something close. Come back next week to see if Zach drowns as he's tweeting.
I like the past tense of cliffhanger.
Is it
cliffhang?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I like it. Let's work it in. So Catherine Edmonds says, did Jenna and Brianna earn a You Killed It this episode?
Yeah, I guess so. Sure. We can go. Jenna and Brianna, you killed it.
Hundo.
Doesn't get that many points, but sure.
I think, well, there's still hope because I could see when they arrive to the next checkpoint, like, them not just starting fresh. Like, I feel like TJ has to acknowledge that, like, he was informed of what occurred, right, and he's, like, proud and disappointed and, you know, distribute his judgment.
Do you think if Brianna wins, TJ will write her a note saying that he was wrong and, like, sign it and put in, like, an envelope with his own stationery?
A la Jeff Probst. Yeah, and hell no. He doesn't have stationery. He doesn't write. He doesn't have time for that shit.
No time for that.
Stephen Lean says, at this quote halfway point, which I appreciated the quotes, through the final, what percent would you give each team to win? Go ahead and crunch the numbers.
Well, this isn't like a true percentage, but I actually did pose the question on Twitter last night about who everyone thinks is going to win. Do you want to guess the percentages of the people that voted?
I missed this. Sorry. You could put, I thought you could only put two options on Twitter.
Add a vote. Right? I mean, add a category, choice, whatever it is.
Go home, Brian. You're drunk. So you can choose from three. Yeah,
so I put the three options. What percentages do you think each person? Each
I'm going to say people put like 85% Kara, 10% and 5%, 10% Corey, 5% Jenna.
Wow, you're very underestimating Jenna and Brianna. It was 68% Kara and Jamie, 25% Jenna and Brianna, 7% Corey and Mitch.
I can't account for who follows you. I was cheating a little bit because I was going in our
the poll is still open for an hour, so votes may change, but
oh, quick, let me go log that in. All right, so what percent would you give each of them?
I follow my followers, Allie. 68%, 68%, 25%, 7%.
Yeah, I mean, I'm anticipating your reaction and it's not what I expect. So I had this next question queued up expecting you to say, well, actually, no, you did. So why do you think Carr and Jamie are still favored to win?
Mainly because of the edit, honestly, that as a play is a big factor. But I think the upcoming food challenge, I think it may, I mean, I don't think they're going to quit, but it seems like it's going to really drag Jenna and Brianna's time down.
It's like taking candy from a baby. Ross Barolo asks, has the obvious Kara winner edit ruined the final for you? Even though Jen and Brianna are winning, do you feel like me that they actually have no shot?
I am watching it waiting for the slip up. Like when they got to the puzzle, I was expecting, all right, here comes the Jen and Brianna collapse. Here it comes. They're going to get past. And then they beat it. And then when they got to the tire thing and they messed up, I'm like, all right, here comes Kara and Jamie. They're going to pass them. And then nearly pass them. So, like, all right, so maybe it's not here. I am waiting for the shoe to drop.
Do you think there was a time limit that would have been imposed? I'm just curious because it's like the monkey bars. Like on any of these checkpoints. Like I know on food they don't do it, but
I think on the food one, it would have just been if they drank all of it, they would have been able to move on. Would be my
I forgot there was a beer guess. Thing.
I think there would be a time limit on all of them. They usually have a time limit on those. I mean, I guess it would have only been for the puzzle, right? I mean, I don't think they would have had a time limit for the tire thing because like, that's like something you should just be able to do.
Well, not if you're Rihanna and you have no upper body shape.
That's literally something you just like might not be able to do. Like the tire one, you can walk across a tire. Like that's just doing it.
True. Yeah, I think in this respect, like, it's unfortunate for MTV the way certain teams went out, like that Tony got medevaced, so Shane was gone, that Leroy was out soon. Like, they really suffered from an entertainment perspective this season, and it wasn't their fault. I mean, Nani and Nicole gone, Camilla gone. So, like, they had nothing really left to do except focus on Kara, especially with Abe coming in and Abe having and Kara having cheated on Abe. I mean, that was like a gold mine. So the fact that this whole, and I guess I'm making excuses for MTV, but they did it last season too. The whole season being built around Kara and Bananas and then Bananas going out has like, I just don't see a possibility of anyone else winning but Kara. So I'm not having the reaction where I'm like, oh, are they going to win? Like, Jenna's doing so great. Like, I'm really just, like, not that into it because of that. So I agree with Ross that it's really hurt the viewing of the final. Mm-hmm. All right, so Edward Morris, similar question, but different. Power rankings on the final six in order you want them back.
Ooh,
boom.
Fun twist. Honestly, Jenna first. Then Kara, then probably Corey, then Jamie, then Mitch, then Brianna.
See, I'm not even, I would probably out of this group say Jenna's way up there. So I don't think it's like that surprising.
Because Kara's like probably going to have a win, is one of the top female competitors, but it's kind of just been really annoying.
I would almost put her at the bottom just because, I mean, I'm not going to put her at the bottom, but I just think it's like, what else can she give than she gave this season? Her boyfriend showed up. She cheated on her boyfriend. She fought with Anissa. You know, she fought with Banana. She took down Banana. She had three eliminations, right? Mm-hmm. And then if she wins, like, I almost feel like how much more can she come back and continue to bring? That said, I don't want to keep like watering down the pool by getting rid of the good competitors.
Right, that's the thing.
So that's why she's not at the bottom, but she's definitely not. I mean, all right, I'm going to put Jenna up there. I'm going to put, I'm just even going to classify it in terms of like who I don't want to see. I know Jamie's coming back. I don't care to see him again, but we'll give him the second chance rule.
I feel like I've asked this every single time, but is Kara coming back next season? You know?
I don't know.
Okay. I hope not. I like to see Jamie without cuz.
Not that we've heard of, I don't think. But
because I think he's like number one on my give him a second season and then we can start to judge. Because he's had some like funny moments here or there, like interest, like funny comments that like just haven't really shown through. I think give him his own like spotlight season. I think he'll be better.
See, I'm shockingly putting my eggs in Mitch's basket. I mean, no, I just, wow. I meant to say Vince's basket. Yeah. Freudian slip. I think Vince is getting my most improved award, I hope, but we'll see. I've been known to be wrong. But I would say I'd want to see Mitch again. I think Corey's above that. I would say Jenna, Corey. Let's see. Jenna, Corey. Then maybe Jamie, Kara, Mitch, and then Brianna at the bottom. So Rachel Glassford said, do you think that Kara Maria will be on another challenge season after this?
Of course.
Who cares if you want her? But do you think she'll be there?
Of course.
She's got nothing else to do. Come on. No one does.
She's like the female Bananas. She trains for this 24/7, 365.
What do you think her relationship with MTV is right now?
Why would it not be fine?
They did her no favors. Like, I feel like contestants on reality shows tend to get annoyed because, like, the producers make you feel like you can trust them and they air your shit on TV. And then
bringing in
even
Abram,
after 100 seasons, you're surprised. No, like, all of the moments where she, like, was made to look like she hated Abe because she said it and they aired it. And then she thought she was not mic'd and they aired her like bedroom scene with Jamie. And, you know, I don't know.
They air that stuff about Bananas, though. And Bananas and MTV relationship, I'm sure, is fine.
I mean, to compare what she said about Abe to what Johnny said about his relationship,
right,
is
the
like
same
apples
thing,
and oranges.
Though. Like, it's just because they said different things. The context of it is still the same. They both
the context
up,
is
like,
to me, the context is completely different only because what Jamie said, what Kara was saying had major implications on their relationship. And what Bananas was saying was just like, I don't want Hannah to get mad at me. Like, it only revealed why Bananas did what he did, as opposed to like really affect their relationship. I mean, I'm going to end up agreeing with you just in terms of like Kara should know better after this amount of time. But I could understand if she were to misattribute things and get angry at the, you know, the situation rather than like her own feelings and actions.
Right.
Okay, so Derek Boucher says, what's more likely, Brianna returning or Brianna and Jenna actually winning?
Probably Brianna returning.
See, I thought this was actually a really tricky question.
It's a very tough question.
Because it's like fractions of a percent and fractions of a percent. I would also agree with you and say Brianna returning. All right, so Judere Amario, I'd like to hear your predictions on TJ's running with the law on next week's episode.
He's going to be arrested for starting a drug ring.
All right, so Randy Nuphill says, I mean, I think that's complete stage bullshit.
It's like when they got like they got kidnapped to start a final.
MTV doesn't just like show up without a permit and like set up this kind of shenanigans.
And if they did, they wouldn't show it in the episode.
Randy Nuppel says, if you had to pick one, which of these bloodlines cousins would you pick as your own? And I think they mean cousin as opposed to bloodline. Cousin? I think, well, let's say both, and it doesn't have to be limited to final three.
I guess Brianna, right? So that way I can have like access to a bakery.
As your actual cousin or your...
Yeah, that way I always have like a job to fall back on, I guess, if I need it. Fresh pastries.
It seems like the cousin doesn't get access to the job.
Yeah, but like I feel like I'm better than Jenna.
Well, it's a source of resentment between them. So, but you can have Brianna. She wasn't even on my short list. She wasn't on my long list either. Who is a partner? Are you sticking with Brianna as a partner?
Is this partner or like actually joining my family as a cousin? That's the way I took the question.
Yeah, well, let's do both. We have nothing but time.
As my life cousin, Brianna, as my partner for the show, probably Jamie.
Yeah, so I was going to say Jamie also.
No, honestly, maybe going like way back, maybe Jill. So I could have the male-female combo.
I think that's a fair choice. I'm sticking with Jamie. One thing I was thinking of Kahuna and Jill is I almost think that they would be really well-suited for the final.
They would have killed this final. This is perfect for them.
But as we said, his size hurts him in the challenge and helps him in the final.
Yep.
You know, it's like we've done such a great job this season that there's like nothing left to say.
Wow.
For my real cousin, I would pick Rihanna. I'm telling you, this girl is funny as hell on Twitter. And I think as my real cousin, she's hilarious. As my partner, I would also pick Jamie for obvious reasons. So Billy Gross says, I'm springing this on you. Well, we've kind of talked about it. Now that a date for the real world has been announced, are there any plans to cover the show since there will be challenges this season?
No plans in my mind. Are there plans in your mind?
There are no plans. We haven't spoken to the boss. I hope he doesn't expect us to cover it.
We didn't really cover the last one either.
Well, the last one aired while the challenge was airing.
Right.
So we were kind of able, or one of the shows is airing, so we were kind of able to touch on it. We'll confirm with the man upstairs. Just kidding.
Oh,
I don't live below him, nor do I worship Rob. But we'll confer with him and make sure he doesn't think we're doing that. But I think Brian and I need a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
The one thing I would propose is I would be willing to potentially do like maybe like a cast preview, like a setup and a wrap up kind of thing.
Sure.
But we're talking about this live right in front of you, so.
Also,
we don't know.
I know a couple of people have asked me on Twitter about like getting like guests on for the season, and like obviously we haven't had anyone on. Like, I would rather just do that in the off season, get a couple of people on from like this season, or just anyone I can try to slide into TJ's DMs, try to get him on, and go from there. I'd rather do that than cover Real World.
Don't write checks, your tush can cash, buddy.
I'm not writing the checks. I'm just like presenting the options.
Well, you just to me, I took that as a promise. It's so the, we'll leave it to the 100% listeners.
100% not a promise. It's hope.
The ancient Hawaiians say, don't write checks, your tush can't cash.
Woogity, woogity, woogity.
All right, here's my surprise. You ready?
Should I do a drum roll?
You buckled in? You safe? You ready to go? All right. So what do you think it is?
I honestly don't know.
I gave you such a big hint earlier.
Did you like get into law school? Is that what happened?
That's an off-air situation. Yes, but that was not going to be announced on the podcast.
You teased it with something about law. Something, I don't know. She bring this up in the podcast? I don't know.
What did I say about law?
Something came up about you like applying for, because you were like applying for law school, I think. Didn't that come up? I know that came up earlier in the show.
So what? Oh, yes, you're right. Okay, now I understand what you're saying. Okay. I said this was going to affect my future.
Yes, that's what you said. Yes,
and
yes,
you
yes.
just like used your inside knowledge. Yeah. No, so the clues that I tweeted Brian today that he didn't figure out, you know, I did kind of like the mole where I gave you like an unobvious hint. And then I go back in the credits and say like, didn't you see this name on the bag really small in the back corner? Like, duh, that was the mole. Those are my feelings on the mole. Okay.
Hey, the mole was a lot of fun. I really like the mole.
Yeah, but I just always thought that those clues at the end were such bullshit. Like, if you had arranged the letters in the screen grab of the credits, like, you could have easily figured this out.
Murder in Small Town X was better, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, so I had a feeling that this episode was going to be a little bit of a snooze fest, so I wanted to do something a little bit interesting. So the clues I gave Brian was, I said, I'm unveiling a surprise, and he was like, I'm scared. And I said, is it A, I'm resigning in disgrace, B, I'm singing an original song, C, I forget, D, none of the above. The real clue was that it was a multiple choice question. That means it's time for a Where Are They Now quiz.
Wow, this is going back to our first episode. First episode or second episode?
Okay. Which episode? No, I just haven't done this in a while.
I thought this was like our first episode, wasn't it?
With Rob, like no, 100 like years ago?
Our like just us two first episode. I know we did a quiz very early on.
I don't know.
It was the first episode. It may have been the second one.
There's no way I broke this out the first episode. All right. So people have been complaining like we need the old schoolers back. So let's check in with what the old schoolers are doing who will not be returning to the challenge.
That's what they're doing. They all have kids.
We'll get to it. So I wanted to look into Jarrell because I know Jarrell really wants to come back. He's like itching to get back. It's almost pathetic. I didn't get past his Twitter bio in terms of seeing what he's doing now because I just thought it was so funny. So which hashtag is not included in Jarrell's Twitter bio? Oh, now, boy. If you already know the answer, let me know before.
I don't.
Not for this. I think for another one you might know.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you.
No, do you have to tell me so then I can leave time for the audience to play along before you just jump in with the answer? Because I know everyone's gripping at the edge of their seats.
I know.
If you turn on for now, you can follow me at Lash Tweets. No, okay. Hashtag
RobinsWebsite.com/challengeiTunes.
I don't actually want them to go. I worked hard on this. Okay. So which hashtag is not in Darrell's Twitter bio? Is it A, hashtag #pound4pound, four being the number four? Is it B, hashtag different from the rest? Is it C, hashtag fitness? Or D, hashtag do you?
I'm gonna go with different from the rest.
See, I explained the rules to you. And then I pranked you because you followed the rules and I lied. It was all of the above. They're all in Darrell's Twitter bio. It was none of the above.
We're off to a great start with this game. I'm getting that wasn't even a choice.
Can you believe that all of those are hashtag? So Darrell is doing nothing and is available for the challenge. Hashtag pound for pound. Okay. So Emily, how do you pronounce her last name? Bunam? Schramm?
Yeah, sure.
So she is a Kickstarter. What is she raising money for? And I'm going to say M. It's E-M in front of all these words. So right. Is it M-Life, a fitness slash life coaching app? Is it B, M-Bells, which is literally just kettlebells with E-M on it? Is it C, an M-Pack, a weight training backpack? Or is it D, M-Bop, an all-female Hanson cover band?
I do vaguely remember seeing this float around my timeline. I can't remember. I think it's the life coach, isn't it?
No? I'm so good at these fake answers. I'm surprised you didn't go with M-Bop.
Is that what it is? Or is it none C. of the, or is it none of the above again?
No, it's C, an M-Pack, which is a weight training backpack. Which basically like fills with water. You could travel with it with stuff and work out with the bag.
Use it to prepare for the final.
Bonus question follow-up on the Kickstarter. So as of this afternoon when I last checked, actually I checked again tonight and it's changed, but I'm going with what it was when I made the quiz. How many backers does she have? Price is Right rules closest without going over.
Now, how many backers?
Yes.
God, I could just my range in my head right now is from 15 to like 10,000. So I'll go 278.
So she had 598 backers, people who are willing to contribute money to this. It's actually, I watched a video. It's a good product, but when I checked, it was over 600 when I went back tonight. So I'll give you a little bit of background information now before I ask the next question. So she's asking for $18,000. She has 12 days left to go. How much money do you think she's raised?
What was it, 600 people?
Yeah. Well, this is the 598 person figure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So 600 minus two.
That swings everything. That changes everything. How much does she ask for? 18,000?
Yeah. With 12 days to go.
8,000?
She has 81,541.
Holy shit.
I wish I was recording. Well, I am recording the podcast, but I wish I was recording that soundbite. 81,000. You doing some math?
The average person gave 135 bucks to this thing?
I think if you contributed like 100 bucks, that's what it took to get the pack. That was like the lowest level to get the pack. The lower level incentives were like a signed postcard, a free workout routine.
Kickstarter.
And if you like gave a lot more money, you could like get a personal training session for her. She had like decent incentives if you care about fitness or Emily. So good for her.
81,000. Jeez, good for her.
So number four, Paula had a baby a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the baby's name?
Oh,
okay, I'm going to give you choices. I just hope you know. Is it A, Athena Rose? Is it B, Daisy Ann? Is it C, Annabelle Jane? Or is it D, Bananas?
What was the second one again?
Daisy Ann?
No, it's not. What was the third one?
Annabelle Jane?
Yeah. That's not it, but I'll go with that.
You suck.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. How would you possibly know this? It was Athena Rose.
Nah.
All right, so
I was close. I got the first letter.
This was a pretty impressive discovery to me. And this, I think you'll probably be familiar with his work since the challenge. So I revisited Evan Starkman. Mm-hmm. And I found out that he's been a pretty busy guy.
Different.
So now that he's allegedly banned from the challenge...
Not really allegedly, but yeah.
What venture has he not attempted since the show? And this is not a none of the above. Like, there are four things I'm going to tell you, three of which he has done, one of which he has not, to my knowledge, done. Ready?
I'm ready.
Is it A, hosting a hidden camera dating show? Is it B, obtaining American citizenship? Is it C, clothing design? Or D, owning a marketing agency?
Is he not from America? The clothing design, he has to be part of, and I'm pretty sure he's in some way involved in Bananas stuff, so does that count as clothing design? I'm going to say it does. What was the first one?
A, hosting a hidden camera dating show?
I really hope that's true. I'll go with the marketing company.
And first of all, if you think that he's an American, why would you pick American citizenship as something he's done? Or you just meant by birth?
I meant, like, is he? I'm asking myself.
So I'm pretty sure he's Canadian. I made that up, that he obtained American citizenship.
Oh, okay. And, oh, so we actually had a hidden camera dating
show? It was like, I'm unclear if it's a Canadian TV show or if it's a web-based show, but it's like through Cosmo TV. And he's the host of a hidden camera dating show. It's in his Twitter bio, but the Facebook page for the show has not been updated since 2013.
You saw 2013.
I was fully prepared. So he has a company called The Bait Shop, but as Jim Gaffigan would say, it's The Bait Shoppy. PPE at the end of that, and I was full on ready to make fun of this, like the new Guise, And so the website is very, it's like one of those websites where it says like a bunch of words that make no sense but sound good. And so it's like, it is impossible until it's done. The Bait Shop is a new kind of agency that believes people are the new media and only impactful experiences get shared. We value the authentic, create the immersive, and end every sentence with never been done. We start every project by understanding the goal, the people, and the story. We then translate those insights into groundbreaking ideas that bring brands to life as real-world experiences. And it goes on. But you know, you get the idea that it's like, what do you even
do? Can you do the entire podcast next week in that voice?
Then they have what they do. They do experiential, design, guerrilla, impact, interactive, digital production, event production, creative. Anything is possible. We do cool shit. So I was ready to be like, this is a joke. Like, what friend made this website? Like, thanks for contributing to Squarespace. But their clients are hella legit. Like, they have worked with some major companies, HP, Old Navy. They did something for Rihanna. They did, like, so good on him.
Shout out to Evan. He doesn't even need the challenge.
And this is the one I thought you would know, but you thought it away with bananas. Is he had a clothing company with Kenny. I forget what it was called, but they were both advertising it together for a while.
Yeah, I knew he had something. I guess he wasn't part of Bananas, but I know he had something.
Next question. All right. Are you having fun?
Blast.
I don't like that that was sarcastic. I've worked hard. Number 6. What product is Mark Long currently peddling? Is it A, pocket pizza? B, pocket protein? C, pocket pets? D, pocket protectors? E, pocket power? F, Polly Pocket? I make my own rules. I don't just give you 4 choices.
This one I actually do know. This one is pocket protein.
All right, correct. How'd you know? You keep up with Mark Long?
I follow him on Twitter and he tweets about it all the time.
Yeah, all right, good job. Okay, now how much do you know about Evelyn?
None.
Okay, perfect. Because I was actually shocked.
She's a mystery. She's not like I haven't found her on any social media.
It took me, like, when I tell you my source for this information, you're going to laugh at me. The information is from 2013, but I have.
I'm surprised there's even new information going back that far.
You're going to be shocked. All right. So in 2013, this was an article, an interview I read with her, and I'll tell you the source later. So, like, what was her general reaction to reality TV, The Challenge? A, I'm not proud to say this, but I still watch every season. B, it was a great experience, but I'm moving on. C, I can't continue to support such a heinous show. Or D, honestly, I don't care for it. I don't actually have a television.
I think I'm going to go with she still watches.
She said,
I'm really bad at this.
D, honestly, I don't care for it. I don't actually have a television.
Yeah, that was my second one.
You've gotten one question right, and it's only because you knew the answer. I think I have a future in writing for Jeopardy. Am I right? Or am I right?
You're right. Did I get that one right?
Start saying what is. Start answering in a question. All right. Answer.
But actually, I do know that Evelyn is very off the grid.
Just wait. You don't even have a clue. Here's the ready? Mm-hmm. No, I'm making it too big of a thing. It's really not that big a deal. What did Evelyn do since the challenge? A, get married. B, return to school to study zoology. C, invest her winnings in sustainable farming with a focus on beekeeping. Or D, attend Harvard Law. To quote Elle Woods, what, like it's hard?
Zoology.
I wish you thought more about what you thought this would be related to, because D, she attends Harvard Law School.
Wow.
This was an article, an interview at her like current college, and she was attending Harvard.
So you found the right Evelyn.
I swear, because this article was about her being on the challenge and then going to Harvard Law, and she wants to work in LGBT rights issues, either in entertainment law or some other kind of law. I forget what she said. Now, Brian revealed I'm applying to law school, and I have applied to law school and will be going to law school. And what kills me is I like genuinely worried that this podcast would like negatively affect my ability to be admitted. But Evelyn was on the show and goes to Harvard Law. Maybe it would have helped.
Yeah, we should try to like use her as like a reference for you.
No, I didn't apply to Harvard. But one of the schools I did talk about the podcast in my application. So thank you everyone for participating in
that
my life.
Just a FYI, that legally gets me 10% of all future earnings from you.
Sure.
It's a law.
If I go to that school.
It's just a law.
It's yeah, you are clearly a brilliant legal mind. So that's it. That's all I have. So Evelyn, you'll never see her again.
What a shame.
Hashtag a pound shame. For pound.
Hashtag fitness.
But that's the game. That's it. So okay. I didn't mean to scare you. I hope that was more fun than scary.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, your sincerity is mind blowing.
No, it was getting up there on Evelyn.
Tell me more good things. I couldn't believe that. That, like, actually, when I was looking for her, I was so glad she popped in my head.
Yeah, that's truly stunning. That's truly stunning.
I mean, she was always very smart. But it's just like, how do you go from MTV to Harvard?
It's always tough to tell, like, if she was actually smart or just smart because she was around, like, buffoons. But I guess she was actually really smart.
Maybe this bodes well for Jenna, that she's not just entertaining because she's around unentertaining people.
Jenna's going to be hosting the Oscars in, like, 6 years.
the Harvard Law equivalent of the entertainment industry.
Exactly. Her and Billy Crystal rocking it.
So I forget where we left off, but I have some 5-star reviews. I don't know if you were going to read them or if I was going to.
You can go for it.
All right. So Shiesti Nagu, thank you. Pappy Sinclair, I think I got the best names. And Dirty Lunatic, thank you all. Your kind words are much appreciated. If you want to leave words of any kind, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe. Or you can just, like, send a smoke signal and I'm sure I'll feel it in the atmosphere.
Sure, we could try that one time.
Well, it was leading to, like, Twitter, but that's your thing, and I didn't want to, like, go into it, so I just kind of had to bail out.
The only fantasy points this week were just Kara and Jamie fighting and Kara crying. So,
quick update there.
You can follow me on Twitter.
What are the scores? You're not going to give the scores? You ashamed?
I'm very ashamed.
Go ahead.
13-68-95.
Who has what?
I'm going to leave that up for the interpretation.
All right.
Just, you know, it's just unfair because if you didn't have Kara, Brianna, and Corey and Mitch, I'd be winning. So.
Yeah. The hard part was an end. It would be easy. Yeah. An easy win.
Exactly.
So who's winning in your real league? Because this is bullshit. So who's...
Yeah. Our league has... What is it we have? We have six pairs of people in it. I'm out. I'm in fourth. I have no people left. So I'm out.
Who's winning?
Well, Vince screwed me there too. Vince was my first pick.
Well, that was foolish. Who is winning?
Andrew Steckler and Alex. I can't remember his last name.
Do they listen to the podcast?
Probably not.
Okay, so then you're fine.
Dane's in third. The shout out to Dane.
Does he listen?
He listens.
Hi, Dane.
He yells at me all the time about the fantasy scoring. It's super annoying.
Like, he agrees with me?
No, he's usually on your side. Or he's just on the third side. So there's many
Dane's
sides.
Welcome anytime. I was actually going to say he's welcome on anytime, but since you said that, he's definitely welcome on anytime. Dane, consider this a personal invitation.
There you go. Yes, that's all I got. Next week is an extravaganza of a Wednesday night for our hat.
Oh, shit. I forgot niche. It was all the same night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 4 hours of Survivor and Challenge, so... Buckle your seatbelts, your chin straps, everything you need to.
Ew, it's a big night. Don't big buckle day. Your unfortunate facial hair design. If that's when I hear chin strap, I have like Jersey PTSD.
But in case everyone isn't aware, the finale is next week, the reunion is next week, and the shit they should have shown is also next week, but that's also only like 30 minutes. But 10 to 12:30. Eastern.
Right after Survivor, you can just stay locked in. Yeah.
You got a half hour break between Survivor, so like
kiss your children and you know.
And then go away for another 2.5 hours and watch people puke their guts out.
Oh, I pulled that question. Someone wrote like puking's not entertaining. Am I wrong? I agree with you.
It's not. Yeah. Way too much puking. Way too much. But that's the final. We'll be back next week. What's our plan? Are we doing? I guess we'll talk about this offline.
Follow me at Last Tweets. You can follow him at Bus Driver's Route, or you could do neither of those things, and we wouldn't blame you at all. Have a good one.
Till next time, have a good one.